Hi, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I'm Chris Lucian, and here I am with Austin Chadwick. And today we're going to talk about the interview process that has been around, I think, for us on our team for about the last 6 years. And you know, we'll go through a little bit of the high level, the history, how it's conducted, and we're kind of in that process right now. So it's kind of interesting. So Austin, you want to kind of take us through the high level, and then we'll maybe dig into history after that.
Awesome, right on. Yeah. So you know, in my 15 years of being a software engineer, interviews are typically done in the same way that I could always remember, where there's an opening and you're at a company, and then so the hiring manager will interview this person one-on-one, probably ask, you know, scenario type questions, or, you know, there's all the traditional interview type questions that you see. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Oh, my biggest weakness is that I'm too strong, or, you know, whatever the the canned answers you say to sound good in an interview, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not all bad, but, you know, so I was very used to that. But it has been fascinating to encounter an interview where you're actually doing what you would be doing in your job. And so so in this kind of mob style interview, since we mob program full time, a candidate comes in and, you know, we help make them comfortable and we do a little bit of chat at the beginning, but essentially they start pairing and mobbing with us and our team as part of the process. And so it's as opposed to basically discuss, it's let's do together. And so that's it at a high level. Kind of what's the history, Chris, on how it got to where it is today?
Yeah. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. When we, you know, when I was interviewed, it was, we weren't mobbing yet. So it was just kind of, but that was a really interesting interview because it was still a code-based interview. And so the interview that I got was kind of like, you know, had a lot of unit testing and refactoring in it. I really liked that about that interview, and it was, it obviously didn't have the mobbing representation there. And so, you know, 4 years went by and we kind of used that same interview process. And then when we started scaling to multiple mobs, we kind of said, let's start doing retrospectives about our interview. And so one of the first things that went into place is yes, we need to simulate a mob. And then we just iteratively kept retrospecting. And so, you know, at first it was kind of difficult because some people didn't know what mob programming was, came to the interview, was being watched or navigating for people, and you know, got scared of that situation and left. And we retrospected and said, how do we not do that? Gradually over time, it became what it is today. And what's really cool about it, I think, is because, you know, when a candidate first gets there and we're making them feel comfortable, a lot of this went into or came about because, through the retrospectives. And so some key things in there of getting a little, you know, solo programming time in before getting multiple people in. Things like that ended up really helping smooth things along, and then also being really explicit with what's going to happen in the interview. So it's kind of a refinement over the last 5 years of, you know, how can we do this interview better? How do we make the candidate feel more comfortable? How do we identify things? How do we score things and things like that? And so, and it ends up being like sort of a simulation of what a day would be like. And I think it's worked really well. So, but yeah, Austin, maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, the step-by-step detail.
Yeah, for sure. So someone, a candidate joins in, and then there's a couple different roles that we have. So there's the proctor, and then there's the note taker, and then there's just mobbers. So when the candidate starts, then it's just the proctor and the candidate, and the proctor kind of explains what's about to happen, tells them it's, you know, hey, you know, you're going to be interacting with others, and it's great to you know, express your ideas out loud and let us know what you're thinking. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to ask your team for questions. It's not going to be like this driver and the watcher scenario, right? Where you have your coding and then six, you know, four people just watching and judging you, right? It's supposed to be like, how would you be really in a mob, you know? And so it's okay to Google. You know, if it's for a more higher level role, it's, hey, are you able to teach others in your mob during the process and coach them, so to speak? So what they do at first is it's just a proctor and the candidate. And they work through a very simple problem related to test-driven development. They drive, but say what they're thinking out loud. And then for the next thing, they bring in someone, and then they go from driving and speaking out loud what they're doing to navigating with the team. And then you hit a whole host of questions related to, you know, refactoring, problem solving, et cetera, maybe to some design, extreme programming type, evolutionary design type stuff. But in the end, there's several time all on non-product code. It's not like we're having you do real work here. It's all just for learning how the candidate is in a mob. And then at the end, there's a lean coffee discussion where they can bring up their own topics and questions, and the team can bring up their own topics and questions and discuss. And is there anything I'm missing there, Chris?
Kind of like right after the lean coffee, you know, toward the end, you know, I'll join in, and then I'll kind of do like a sort of company tour and explain to the candidate kind of like what happens after that all finishes up. And then, you know, I think one thing that's really important is that if the team essentially says no to the candidate, we have a really clear picture as to why. And so we actually also give pretty a significant amount of feedback to the candidate about what happened and things along those lines. So that's been a really great process, and it's worked really well. And I really do like the idea, because there have been interviews that I've been that I have done in the past where it's been like it was just a no, and then I just didn't get any feedback at all as to why. And so it's nice being able to see that and make sure that the candidates are feel respected and treated well and things along those lines. Because we still try to do this with kindness, consideration, and respect all the way through the process. So it's been a long series of refinements, but I'm really proud of it where it is now. And I think it'll continue to get better as we go.
Awesome. Well, maybe before we close out, maybe some reflections on pros and cons. And so, so for me, pros, going through the process myself, and then you know, also being on the interview team, it's really fun. at least both experiences were really fun, because you're interacting with people and you're problem solving together, and that can be really fun. You really get to see how people are. It's hard to hide, basically. so I see those as pros, and you get to. The one con I think I might have is, and I think our refinements over time through its history has made this less of a problem, is it can be a shock, right, to come into an interview like this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. Anybody that's used to a panel interview with no code will, I mean, it completely gets flipped on end. And so, you know, it's definitely, you know, a real technical interview.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, right on. And so I think
the focus.
Yeah, and so the I think what we've the refinements have been, hey, here are the videos to watch. This is about what you're about to do, right? Yeah. Some front loading, so to speak, before they jump on in.
And we want to make the candidate as successful as possible. Like, you know, we don't want something like panic or fear to be making the candidate look worse, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of material that is given to the candidate. It's explained to them, you know, what they're about to do. And so, especially for people who just applied but never heard of mob programming before, which, you know, in our growth has been a thing. And so as that happened, we did more and more, we sent time-lapse videos of our day. We, had a lot of resources on all the different problem types that they'd be experiencing. And so, kind of everything that we've talked about in this video up until this point is outlined for the candidate in the material that's given to them. And so, and that's really helped a lot, because I think we didn't have that in the beginning, and it was really obvious in people that were caught off guard. And so we made sure that wasn't a problem anymore.
Yeah. Maybe one last tip before closing out this episode is a lot of the same interpersonal things that when you mob with someone for the first time are good to do if you were to experiment with this style of interviewing, in that things to make help them feel comfortable, right? As far as modeling that you don't know something, right? To show that it's okay to not know something. I've seen people on our interviews do that, where the interview will be in a language they're not familiar with, and they'll express that, you know what I mean? And to kind of model that it's okay to do that. Or if they're struggling to ask them questions and help them feel safe to talk in the group, right? And so if someone gets stuck, to kind of help encourage them to run an experiment or try something. And so so apply all the same stuff from regular mobbing to help people feel comfortable and increase that psychological safety. Please like and subscribe. We love your feedback. Hit the bell, as Chris says, on the notifications for subscription on YouTube. Yep. Or your favorite podcast aggregator. And until next time, mob well and have a good one.
All right, bye, everybody.